is on the oracle of the sphere. The sphere. It's the oracle of wholeness. It's the oracle of completion. And given that we're halfway through, tonight is really the halfway point in the classes. And it seems an unusual place for that particular aspect. At least it did to me originally. One way of saying that is that it's the oracle of self-realization, and it's the beginning of the higher levels of awareness. It encompasses these centers here, the solar plexus and the heart. The color is gold. Got about as close as we have to a gold candle there. Do you have anything closer? That's perfect. No, this is better. I'll call ahead next time. Okay. Wholeness is actually the experience that unfolds out of appreciation and gratitude. You go, I am, the polarities here are appreciation and gratitude. Appreciation is energetically coming forth to meet, to embrace the inexperience. It's like when you're in, just choose anything that you really enjoy, so anything that feels really good, and you can just feel how your energy comes forward to meet it and to get just the most from it. And then gratitude, you kind of fall back. It's almost an experience of allowing yourself to be overwhelmed by the appreciation. In other words, the higher level of appreciation is the basic level of appreciation is, you know, this just really matches my needs, it matches my desires, it matches my appetite, whatever that is. And the energy just comes forward to receive that. But the higher level of appreciation, gratitude, is when you receive something that's beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to procure for yourself. You know, when your gratitude for me comes most profoundly when I'm in a real experience of need and something totally outside the sphere of my control or influence comes forward to fulfill that need. It's like, thank you. And the more severe the need, the deeper the gratitude. And then out of gratitude, there's an experience in gratitude where the need is being fulfilled and you're not doing it. And out of that comes this experience of wholeness, which is really the beginning of realizing ourselves as a child of God. As Jesus said in the... Barbara? Okay. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said, God knows what you need. Therefore, don't beg him, her, do this. And then he gave the Lord's Prayer, which is a process of coming into a relationship with the Creator wherein we are able to receive. And a fundamental part of coming into that relationship is an experience of self-realization. In order to receive God's love, it's very helpful for us to acknowledge and to experience ourselves as God's child. And that experience is an experience of receiving as a natural part of our reality, who we are. When we did the regression work with Oracle of the Heart, we went back to that beginning place. The thing that we saw was people coming out of this experience of unity and bliss in the heart of God, and an assumption that something had gone wrong. They had done something, and now they had to do something to get back. And in general, I think most of us someplace in there feel that to get to to return to our spiritual home, we need to do something. And the truth is, we really need to undo. And so gratitude can be looked at sort of as an experience, actually the first real experience of undoing. Letting go is, you can feel the doing. And acceptance leads you to a little higher, but there's still I'm going to accept. It's a choice. Appreciation is also more of a choice. But gratitude is not something you can really do. You can say I'm grateful, but to actually have the feeling, it's a very spontaneous thing. To really experience gratitude, it just fills your heart to a new place. You know, that feeling of your heart just going, oh, thank you. You know, wow. You know, and there's the thank you word that you say thank you because it's the polite thing to do or the appropriate thing to do, but that's not the gratitude we're talking about here. We're talking about the gratitude that you think might burst your heart. Where you're just like,
you never forget that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's always, I'm thinking about when I was doing a lawsuit and the angels came to me and showed me where stuff was. And I went and found it where they said it was. And at that moment, and that happened 4 or 5 times during the course of a year and a half, and at that those moments, I knew. And I'm thinking about it now, and it's like my heart is...
And it was something you couldn't have possibly have done for yourself.
No.
You know, I mean, you couldn't figure it out. It was a gift.
None of that whole thing, the whole thing was a gift.
Yeah.
Because then I knew that there was no question that I was in grace and a child of God.
Gratitude brings us into the heart, and it brings us into this place of transition. The heart is the point of transition. And you can actually feel where gratitude is that point of transition between the lower consciousness and the higher consciousness. And it's the beginning of receiving life as a gift. In terms of a chakra, the next one is joy. Okay, the next one above that is joy. And you can feel how joy. You can't go out and make joy. You can't go do joy. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to go out and have a joyful day today. Yeah, right. There's not a, you don't do that. You receive. Joy is like gratitude, only it's a higher frequency of gratitude, of receiving. And this wholeness that we're talking about is the wholeness that comes out of opening to receive. And you can only have that wholeness in that place because it's only wholeness only exists in the form of an unconditional gift. If you paid for it, it's not the same. Gordon?
Bliss would be another word.
Bliss is moving into the joy level. And actually, it's also moving into the peace level. Yeah? You see that? How I think bliss is, and really it's also moving into the love level. We're not quite there, but it is within those higher realms. This is the transition point into those higher experiences. And gratitude, whereas it is I generally relate to gratitude as being specifically associated with a condition, as I do letting go and acceptance and appreciation. As we begin to move into joy and peace and freedom, we move into a much more unconditional experience. Do you see how that's true? We can have experiences of joy and not have, you ever just all of a sudden you just step into that little place and bubbles start coming up and there's no reason? And really that's the best joy of all, because there's no condition. It's like, oh, that was cool. And it's usually you just move into that in-between place. Well, wholeness is actually the thing that the joy springs from. It's the place where we let go enough in who we are to come into that wholeness. It's a little bit, I think, enigmatic is the word, kind of hard to grip, because it is literally the transition point. And we have a tendency in our human self that really kind of thinks from here down. It seems that wholeness is a place of completion, which it is, but it's just really the beginning of the higher experience. Barbara?
Well, depending on your perspective, if a person moves into a place, a feeling like they're in the void, and not really feeling very connected to or attached or resistant, just there, that actually sounds very much like the same thing.
Well, it is. Just in terms of the void, the void would be that experience of I am not. Okay. And how the I am not, and that's the capstone on the previous triad. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the capstone on the second triad. The I am not, which is really not a reality, what it is, it's I am not is moving away from the way we usually experience ourselves, which is in the form of reflection. So when you're in the void, you don't see a reflection. There's nothing there reacting to you, responding to you, and everything that you know of as you, which is that reactive self, isn't. And all of that falls away, and then your true self is born out of that. The other night on Monday, we did a little experience to give just, here's a little inner experience here. Just close your eyes for a second and do, I'm letting go, and now I'm accepting and fulfilled form the grail, and then I am not. Now let that drop out and hold it out, hold the breath out until it wants to come in by itself. Just listen. Okay. And then when it wants to come back in itself, you can feel how beautifully it moves into appreciation. Because that breath that comes in by itself is a gift. And you're now in a place to savor that gift. Letting go, accepting, fulfilled, empty, I am not, listen, wait for the breath to come on its own, and as it comes, I am appreciating. And so energetically it's moving, we're moving from the void into that place where we are not a image, form, condition, but we are a pure being, breathing independent of our polarized consciousness. And so now we're moving up to the next level, which is really where the grail is filled with that natural breath rather than our idea of ourself. The idea of the self is completely illusionary. Our idea of ourself is what we learn from the world, what the world tells us who we are, which is usually pretty inaccurate. It has a lot more to do with what the world wants us to be than who we really are, or how the world feels about who we are rather than who we really are. And who we are is just that breath. Now the grail fills and we have wholeness. And not wholeness as an end, but a wholeness as a beginning of a whole new reality. It's an enigma. It's right when you think a wholeness, you go, oh. And the minute you begin to put a thing on it, an understanding on it, it just slips away. It just slips away. So the part of the prayer that this works with is the will of spirit and daily bread. Okay? And so we can really just see from those two aspects, which is thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so also in earth. There's just a really big surrender there. And give us this day our daily bread, there's also a really big surrender there. If we look at it as a request for daily bread, there is a surrender, but really the higher understanding is this is an acknowledgement that we are willing to accept this day as our, what we are to consume. Unconditionally. It's like, it doesn't say, give us this day the good stuff we want. It's our daily bread. And it's connected with forgiveness because as creators, we're in a learning process and we're acknowledging that. We're going, hey, we are creators in training. And this is really a trial and error kind of process that we're involved with. So please forgive us, and as creators, we will enter into that spirit of forgiveness by forgiving others. And on this level, it really, that wholeness comes out of surrender, which for me, gratitude is an experience of surrender. It's the place, it really, real gratitude just brings me to my knees. To me, to experience gratitude, I must be humble. Because what I'm doing when I allow my heart to feel that way is I'm saying, thank you. There's no way I could have done this for myself. So there's always tremendous humility. And out of humility comes the wholeness. And it's not really staying in the gratitude. It's actually going beyond the gratitude into just the fullness of being. And it boggles the mind. Because, right, we know what gratitude is. We go to wholeness and we go, what is that? What is that? It's like, this is an enigma. And we got to remember, we're going level 1, 2, 9, 3, 4, 10. This is really level 10. We bring it in here because it completes this triad. Okay, now energetically, how it works is I'm appreciating, I am grateful, I am whole, I am. The I am is born out of the I am not. And you can feel it. You may not be able to quite comprehend the wholeness, but you can feel how appropriately the energy fits there. I'm appreciating. I am grateful. I am whole. I am. Wholeness is the base that gives us permission to be. Until we move into that experience of wholeness, which is the perfection both of the moment and ourself as one thing. I mean, the transcendence are mind games. This is the exact opposite mind game of the I am not. Because the minute you go, what is that? What is that? You don't get that. It takes you into that transcendent state. And that's the whole idea. I'm receiving. I'm giving. I'm wanting. I'm letting go. Go ahead and feel the whole progression right up to this point. You know, you can feel the energy just build. On the in-breath, I'm receiving. On the out-breath, giving. In-breath, wanting. Out-breath, letting go. In-breath, discerning. Out-breath, trusting. In-breath, knowing. Out-breath, accepting. In-breath, sad. Happy. Responding. Appreciating. In-breath, repelling. Out-breath, attracting. In-breath, caring. And grateful. Now, in-breath, I am appreciating. I am grateful. I am whole. I am. Just feel how that moves the energy in your consciousness through this sequence. you can actually see the energy in the room change as the group goes through that. It's wonderful. In breath, breathing in, I am. Out breath, appreciating. In breath, grateful and whole. Out breath, I am. And again, in breath, I am. Out breath, appreciating. In breath, grateful and whole. I am. When we look at the candle, got a little flame this evening. Appreciation, in the way I see it in the candle, is the way the candle comes forward to energetically meet the moment. It's fully present. And when I'm in appreciation, I'm fully present because whatever's happening has really engaged my senses, my awareness. I want to be there. It's easy for me to be there when I'm in appreciation. Gratitude is in the flame where the energy sort of bursts forward. And it's easier to see when the flame is still than when it's flickering. Because there's a peace to it, to that bursting forward of energy. It's like, thank you. Wholeness in the flame is the place where the flame is just a flame. And yet, just an extraordinary, magnificent thing, which is what a flame is. And the I am-ness of the flame, as I see it, is where the flame is not striving in any way to be anything other than what it is. It's sort of a permission to be. Then the higher experiences, joy, peace, freedom, love, they actually come out of that foundation, which is the permission to be. They are, shall we say, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts that come from simply being. Any comments or questions on this one?
I do have to say that what I find so amazing about this building is that I understood pretty much what you said. But then when you took us through that, I wasn't even thinking. I just did the words, and then I got filled all up. So it's like my body knew it. Like last week when I got all jumpy.
Yeah.
It's just so amazing with the body knows that you don't have to process it through the mind, just recognize.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, And that is really how how we got it, was through a process of taking months and months to feel each one of these and see, you know, what was that next thing. And, you know, we had a basic information system to work with Oracle of the Heart, that really helped a lot. But it was still kind of an adventure. It's like, okay, I can feel it. What is that? You know, what's the word that goes with that? And the flame was the most helpful guiding point. But the Doth pattern, which the the angel face, if you will, it has all these patterns and forms in it, and that was also a big part. The very first symbol is a circle, okay? And there's a big difference between the circle and the sphere. The circle implies the sphere. The circle is just that faint memory, that faint knowing that says there's more. Okay. This is moving into that experience of wholeness, that the circle is just really the desire for. It's just like, no, it's not complete yet. It's not complete yet. And you can't have that experience of wholeness out here. It doesn't happen out here. It happens only, and you can feel it in your body. And you can feel it in your heart. You can feel how it begins right there. The wholeness comes in the heart. Anybody else? Comment or question?
I think of like a circle being a two-dimensional, and like a sphere being a multi-dimensional.
You're right. Right. The circle is the two-dimensional, and it's, you see it, and you actually can feel the sphere, which is implied by the circle, but it's not there yet. It's really not even close. But in the sphere, I mean, just when you look at a sphere, it does something to you energetically. Look at any other shape in the room, then look at the sphere, and you can actually feel that experience of wholeness there.
I remember reading in the book, The Gemstone Guardian, and it's a book about using the stones as a healing tool. And I had been using just the stones in different shapes, you know. But she said that when you use a necklace of spheres and you lay them on the chakras, they work with the body in a totally different way. They work with your etheric field and all the energy in your body in a totally different way than a stone that would be placed on the body, because it begins this process with the energetic field. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up to bring you.
One of the places that we can see, and this fascinates me, and it's one of the places that, for me, I can see the perfection of the sphere and how it is so much a part of everything. We live on a sphere, of course, but when the kids play with their bubbles, or when I play with their bubbles, you blow a bubble, and it takes the form of a sphere. So what that says to me is that form is just inherently present And something says all things shall be whole. There's actually an energetic message always present that is saying, be whole, be whole, be a sphere. And when we talk about the Merkaba, at the core of the Merkaba is a sphere. And the Merkaba spreads out into a more of a spaceship-like shape, but the beginning of it is the sphere.
And I can remember when I first started working with energy, somebody said, put your hand, you know, to feel that, feel, what is it that you feel there? You know, and invariably, anybody that is beginning to experience the energy, I'll say to them, put your hands like this, and what is it that you feel?
That's
it's
all.
Sphere.
Let's all do that. If you have, and I like to rub my hands before I do it because it kind of gets things cooking here. But you can literally feel a sphere. Mm-hmm. And you can feel your hands actually starting to cup. The more you bring them in until you feel that pressure. Yeah. There it is. Right there. Isn't that cool?
We're not videotaping.
It's from.
Huh? Right. I'll go high, you go low. Okay. Put the balls down. We'll play with them later.
It's said that a spark is round.
A spark is round. I've never heard that. Huh.
It looks other than that because of its reflectiveness.
Yeah. Well, and I think what that reflectiveness that you mentioned there is part of it also becoming the Merkaba. Mm-hmm. Because what the Merkaba is doing is it is wholeness becoming. See, we're in a dimension here of becoming. Creation is a dimension of becoming. And so you have wholeness, but you have the interaction of opposites becoming one. And in the relationship, we kind of flatten out into that Merkaba shape.
Perhaps also, considering how sacred geometry teaches the sphere is the ultimate form, which contains all other forms.
And our blood cells are round.
Yeah.
And the egg that we're created from is a circle.
Right.
It's not an egg. It's not shaped like a chicken egg.
No.
It's
a round one. And actually, the yolk within an egg is round.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We are the nutrients.
Yeah. They just got that egg shape. The chicken says, we're making these things egg shaped because they come out easier. We need a pointed end here.
Well,
yeah.
Or the first one that gave birth was this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the chicken rebellion.
No.
It's like, no more round eggs.
That really
hurt.
They hurt.
Also, I'm always fascinated by the continuum with a sphere having the ability to hold, to attract and hold.
Mm-hmm. To attract and hold?
A basic mm-hmm. scouring. Looking scoury.
Mm-hmm.
The seers have done is look into a sphere to allow themselves to be focused.
Yeah.
And it contains their energy so they may see their own thoughts.
Well, and in relationship to wholeness, that's a really good point, Gordon, because here we have the sphere, and we know when we look up the stars around, the planets around, and really pretty much round is the theme going on here. The attractive ability of the sphere relates to the hologram. Mm-hmm. Because indeed, if all things are present in all other things, all things ultimately are in some way involved in a sphere. So the sphere would be the perfect form to penetrate and to participate in that holographic experience, which is everything is present in all, at all times, in all places. So the spherical, oh, I can feel it just doing that. The spherical form enables us to attune then to really everything, because really it is all spherical. And what we're talking about there is wholeness.
Think of the embryo in the womb. The fetus taking a spherical shape.
Yeah.
And the form is life.
Yeah.
And think about how when you go someplace and you see a sphere, don't you always want to go over and get your hands on it? Now, a triangle, I'm not, you know, a pyramid shape, I'm not wanting to go over and just really relate it to it.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I'm holding myself back from going over.
Yeah.
You want to touch the sphere.
Yeah, good. Because I was holding myself back. Because it just feels wonderful.
We digressed. Sphere fondling.
One.
Mm-hmm. Enough for everybody to have their own. The first time I got a spherical crystal, opened it up, and I was overwhelmed. This incredible love, just seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, and then to touch it, I mean, it was just, it was yours.
Yeah. Well,
amazing.
Until that moment, it was mine, actually.
And then you wrapped it up and gave it to her?
No, she just said,
I knew it was mine.
I know this is supposed to be for me. I said,
it was.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to be me, but thought versus no, I guess it's yours.
It was undeniable.
Well, you saw your own energy in it. You saw yourself.
That's how we do it, Barbara.
Yeah.
Okay. That's got to be mine.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe sports are men's way of trying to be in touch with this.
Yeah,
baseball.
Basketball,
soccer,
tennis.
Except for football.
Golf.
Golf. Golf.
Those are ones that are a little askew. They're stuck in that egg thing.
Yeah.
I need to listen to your words. You know, men's way of trying, you know, we have men here. You know,
right.
We are doing.
What's the other men?
So other men.
Men
who play ball. There you go. That's better. Men who play ball. Girls play ball too.
That's right.
It's required.
Fear fondling is a requirement of the class.
But our fascination with spheres, I mean, it really, it's, and you know, we've spent a lot of time focusing on the Mayan. And one of the fascinating things about the Mayan is, I mean, here is an extremely advanced culture. There's just no way. Their math, their astronomy, their building ability, their cultural design, all of it surpasses our own. I mean, there's no, you just can't deny that once you look at what really happened there. Their entire lifestyle, their industry revolved around spiritual evolution. I mean, this is this is really evolved. And they didn't use the wheel. They didn't use the wheel for anything. And there's this judgment that gets laid on them by our scientific community, which says, you know, how could they have been so brilliant in some ways and yet not sharp enough to figure out the use of the wheel, right? It's like, hello. And there's this point of view that says, well, they didn't need the wheel, which I think is in part true, but I believe that the wheel was sacred. And that they didn't use it. They did have a ball game, and there was a sphere involved, but it was a ceremony. And I think they recognized that form as something sacred. And to knew that to embark on the manipulation and use of that form